What stops us seeing the glory of God and giving praise? So today, I want us to focus on this passage from Luke. And we are going to really concentrate on it and think about it as a metaphor. Don't get me wrong, I do really believe that Jesus physically healed people and physically changed the world around him, and I believe it still happens today that people are healed by God. But I also believe that a lot of his healing ministry was not just about people making people's physical lives easier or enabling them to be accepted into society. I believe it was about revealing something deeper, something even greater that everybody could grasp. So we're going to focus on symbolism in this passage today. I said I was going to get you involved. Would two people be willing to be volunteers for me to come up front? It would involve Alistair. Always I can rely on you. Thank you. Anyone willing to come and stand next to Alistair? You have a very simple task. I'm going to ask you to count to five, that basically. Jane, thank you. Okay, one of you is going to be the lady in the synagogue and one of you is going to be the Pharisee. I'm going to make Alistair the lady in the synagogue and you can be the Pharisee, Jane. Is that okay? We're going to go gender opposites. Alistair, you need to be bent over almost double.
Okay.
Like so that you, like an L, that's it. Okay? Jane, you can stand just like that. Right, Jacob, would you be willing to hold up one hand, as many fingers as you choose? You pick as many fingers as you choose. How many fingers is he holding up? Either of you? Four, it is four. Can you see at all, Alistair? Okay, Jacob, let's try again. You can have two hands. You might need to be in front of the white. It's quite hard with the stained glass window behind you. Yeah, no, you're straightening up.
Seven.
Oh, that was almost a tie. We're going to have one more to see if it's a race. It's now going to be a race. I just made that up. Okay, one, two, three, go. Alistair, you're doing quite well. I'm impressed. You can go sit down there. It was also a sight test, absolutely. It's not about healing sight. Thank you, Jane. That was all we needed you to do. It was just an example. You can do it sitting in your seat. Imagine being bent over double so that basically your focus is here. Try and look at your neighbour or look at the ceiling of the church whilst being bent over double. Just see if you can look at the beams above you. It is really, really hard. It would involve an awful lot of twisting, and actually you may not be able to do it. So imagine this lady's life. This is how she lives. She wouldn't be able to look at the clouds in the sky and enjoy those. Of a night, be able to look at the moon, to see the stars. The world that she could focus on was very much what was at the ground at her feet and in her close proximity. Now, don't get me wrong, there is an awful lot to enjoy and appreciate and beauty in the ground. Don't get me started on looking at a piece of moss, but if you have a moment, stare at a piece of moss just for a while to see that there is an awful lot of beauty if you just stare at what's at your feet. That's not what I'm talking about, but her world was limited. Her vista was limited to what was just in front of her. And we are told at the beginning of this passage that this was because of a spirit. So this is a spiritual limitation that Luke is telling us about. Remember, we're looking at the metaphors today in this passage. So she is spiritually limited. Unable to lift her face, to lift her eyes, to see into the distance, to stare at the infinity of space. Now, into her life steps Jesus. It doesn't say that she sought him out, just that she was there, perhaps faithfully coming to the synagogue each week. But Jesus sees her. And Jesus is the one who can reveal the wonders of eternity to us. Jesus is the one that can reveal the expanse which lies beyond our physical world and beyond our imaginations even, the one who reveals the realm of God. Jesus who can open our eyes to vistas of glory. And Jesus tells this woman, "You are set free." And she can straighten up and she can see. And what does she do immediately? She praises God. She suddenly, her perspective is changed. She lifts her eyes. She can now see the wonders of God. Jesus has managed to change her perspective, changed her vision, given her that expanse of vision. Remember, we're thinking metaphorically, the symbolism of this passage. This is an account of changing perspective, of Jesus freeing us from spiritual blinkers and opening eyes. And her immediate response in this account is to praise God. And she's contrasted with the Pharisee. We're going to make an assumption that he's a man who was physically fit, able to enjoy the simple gift of being able to stand up straight, to look at the view, to stare at the clouds, should he so wish, to lie on the ground and look up at a tree. I don't know. Now I'm imagining. But he could stare into the distance and see the wonders of the expanse of creation. And he has just witnessed a spiritual liberation right in front of him. And what's his immediate response? Where is his focus? In contrast to the woman, his focus is immediately on the detail, on the minutiae of the physical world close by and the fact that Jesus has broken one of the laws by healing on the Sabbath, by doing work on the Sabbath. This account reveals where each person's spiritual eyes were focused, either on the infinite horizon and glorious expanse of God's power, or on the expectations and demands and restrictions of living in response to God's love and God's power. Now, I'm not actually going to stand here and criticize the Pharisee and his ways and his laws, because all those laws were written for the people of God to help them to live in response to God's love. That's why they were there. They were to help them to respond, to show the world that they were different. As God's chosen people, they were living differently. The law enabled them to do that with their whole lives. It was a guideline for them. It was a way of ensuring that they could live differently. And actually, I'm definitely not going to criticize that, because if we are at all honest, we still do that as Christians. We still set ourselves guidelines and boundaries and laws, and we still sort of set expectations about how we should dress and how we should look and how we should act and what we shouldn't eat and should eat and what we shouldn't drink and should drink. We still do that. We haven't written them down as a set of laws, but just think about your upbringing in the church. How many of those unwritten rules of expectation about how you should behave have you absorbed over the years? That were ways of expressing your faith and living out your faith. But actually, this account is about the way that sometimes they can be helpful for us and sometimes they can give us blinkers, and that they can limit our vision of God's glory. So this account is not about contrasting the freedom that Jesus brings away from the law. It is about the way that Jesus reveals our blinkers. The way that Jesus reveals how we live out our faith can sometimes stop us actually seeing God at work. I wonder what might be limiting your vision of God's glory, God's expanse of power. Where might you see the boundaries of what we should and shouldn't do? Where might we be set free by Jesus to have a slightly different perspective, to see the heart behind God's words. So I pray today that you might hear those words of Jesus, that you are set free. Whatever it is that may be limiting your vision today, that you might be metaphorically or literally able to straighten your back, to look around, to look up, to engage in our worship today. That doesn't necessarily mean physically, but allowing our minds and our hearts to expand beyond where they have been limited. That you might today in our worship see right into the heart of God. Amen.